Bill Miller. Patricia DeBrock.
Happy Thousand.
Yeah. Mike Isner.
I'm here.
There you go. Dan Hedd.
Yes.
LJ Hudson.
Here.
Ms. Star Holliday.
Here.
Ms. McCarthy.
Here.
Gary Spilbrink.
Here.
Dan Woodson.
Here.
Richard Wright.
Here.
Ed Eby.
Here.
Vern Dahl.
Here also.
Okay.
We have one.
At this time, are there any additions or additions to the agenda? You see none? Has everybody had a chance to look at the minutes? And so can we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I think motion to approve the minutes.
Second. Question? If you look, the minutes were supposed to reflect the two attachments that they were mentioned in the minutes, but I didn't see the attachments.
They didn't come through?
No.
I'll give it a shot and see if I can get them sent. They were hooked on, but I'll try.
I just want to make sure that they're part of the minutes.
Well, they were on the computer. Did everybody get the attachments? Or did anybody get the attachments?
I don't.
Besides Mike and...
I don't.
Mike, did you get them?
I didn't get them.
Okay.
With that exception, does the motion still stand?
Depends on what were the attachments.
Attachments were the treasurer's reports that I made in January relative to the review of the books that we received from the former treasurer.
And I think I made a motion to delay approval of minutes until after we have the attachments.
LJ, do you want to go through?
Yes.
We'll try again.
And I'll second that.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Treasurer's report?
Yeah, the January report, this is as of January 31st of 2012. After paying the outstanding invoices that were authorized by the council at the last meeting, the balances in the SCDC's account are as follows. The board meeting's account is minus $93.36. Dump fees are $1,885.76. Library fees are $1,658.78 for a total balance of $3,451.18. In researching past bank statements, it was determined that the Rabobank service charge of $5 per month was placed on the account back in June of 2010 as a service fee, basic small business multiple, is what it says. On that particular statement from June of 2010 is a pink note that indicates that there was a contact with the bank relative to that service fee, and there was a handwritten note that said that that fee would be discontinued as of that date. However, the monthly fee continued from that date until present. I recently discussed this issue with Mrs. DeWitt, which is a financial services officer with Rabobank. And after some investigation, she indicated that service charge would be removed. But if it's removed, then we have no need to change our account from Rabobank to the credit union, as we had previously discussed and approved at the last meeting. So I have requested by email an explanation from our former treasurer as to how that came about, and if she can explain the fact that that monthly fee does not show up on the reports that were generated by the treasurer. So hopefully she'll be able to explain that. The other thing that I did recently was that I contacted the post office relative to the cost for a post office box. As of January 1st, those costs jumped up considerably from $56 to $83 per year for our current size box. And the smaller boxes are jumping up from $42 to $58 annually. And that fee is due in May. So that's just for information purposes. I think I decided that we were going to go with the smaller box, but it still will be an increase of what we're paying at the moment.
Yeah, I've only seen one piece of oversized mail in there. Anything else that you can keep behind the counter? Mr. Story, have you seen much of oversized mail?
No. But the planning department packages, they, I can usually be the slip in the box and pick it up at the counter, as you say.
Okay, can I have a motion to approve the treasurer's report?
Move to file for audit.
Second. Mitch will second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. Correspondence, we have the usual exciting Chamber of Commerce letter and landlines from Land Conservancy. I'll pass it around. Comments from the chair right now? I have none. And ready for community presentations. I'll fire. Make it last a long time.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Phil Fisher from Tide City, Cal Fire. At Napomo Station, we have 88 calls, which isn't very many for Napomo. They go up to 130 some months. And at Station 22, we had 81 calls, which is quite a few for 22. This is as close as the two stations have ever been, which means 22 is getting quite a bit busier. Training this last month, we had hose evolutions and ladders for our PCFs. My paid folks are going to their company officer academy, which is a week-long academy where they keep up on all their updated CPRs and hazmat and different certifications that they have to keep up on a regular basis. We did have a CPR class in January. We had 16 folks, community CPR, and the ages were from 15 to 72, which was a big apperceptive base for the students, and it was well received. We are also going to start our chipping program. We have the funds from the Fire Safe Council, and we're going to start that, and we're going to try to do that in May this year rather than later this year. We're already working with the CCs to schedule our time, so that mistake won't be happening again. Any questions I can answer for you tonight?
We attended the CPR training, and I must say it was absolutely fantastic.
Mike's a good captain, isn't he? He's a good teacher.
They got all the information across in a letter they could understand, plus he's fun.
Everybody
enjoyed it and got a lot of that, so I just wanted to thank you.
I'll pass that on to the chair.
What is your chipping program?
Chipping program is, we've been doing it here for, 8 or 9 years. And what happens is anybody that has extra brush, small trims, 4 inches or smaller, can stick it out in their front yard. We have a period where you can sign up. We have it broken down into 3 different zones over by the Mesa, just this side of the freeway over there, and then this side of the freeway. And then also we did Sway Creek a couple times. And you can leave your stuff out by your driveway. A 3-seat crew comes by and chips it and leaves a pile of chips where you leave your brush at. And actually it takes down the fire load around here. And I think one of the biggest things is with eucalyptus around here, that's a big fire hazard for us. And it really helps us with that right there. So,
Do you ever haul any of the chips off?
No, we haven't been hauling chips off.
Is that an issue for people getting their stuff chipped or not, is whether you haul it off?
No, it hasn't been. Actually, they chip it in, and mostly the chips are, you can work them into soil. If it's not eucalyptus, you can work it into the garden.
Because if you're hauling off on the places, you can dump that stuff with no cost. I just didn't know if you're hauling it or not.
No, they haven't been hauling it. Mm-hmm. So.
When do you anticipate fire season starting this year? Pretty early?
That's a hard one. You never can tell. We've had a really bad winter as far as rain goes. So normally if that continues, it'll dry out early. It depends on when the winds start blowing here and the sun comes out. And normally what will happen is sometime in May, you'll start getting centered fires. And then towards June, you'll start getting bigger grass fires. And July, the brush will start. But normally, we tend to gear up in the 1st of June is when we start hiring our seasonals. And that can vary 2 weeks, one way or the other, depending on how the fires go.
So, question in the audience?
I read something about an aircraft, a Russian aircraft, who picks up more than 250 tons of water. And they were sort of, well, if I understood it right, they were sort of interested to have a station around here somewhere.
It's pretty political on where they get stationed and stuff like that, and there's so many different kinds. We have 22 air tankers. All of ours are S2s. The federal government contracts out for air tankers. All their air tankers are getting old and breaking, and they're not safe anymore, so they're getting new contracts. We're tending to go to bigger air tankers. We have a 747, we have the, what is it, the L-1011 or something like that. It's a great big thing, and they're dumping thousands and thousands. Normally our air tankers are carry 1,800 gallons. The bigger Forest Service ones carry 8,000 gallons. Now they're up to 20,000 gallons out of the 747, which means they have to go higher. There's a lot involved in that. It's the Forest Service contract contracts that are getting new ones, and they're starting to use jets. So it's going to be interesting here. If you follow aircraft at all, the Forest Service is going to have a new fleet. They're mostly going to be jets, and the smallest ones are going to have probably about 4,000 gallons.
Well, the Santa Maria wouldn't live on any other extension.
Well, yeah, they might. Right now, the Forest Service out of Santa Maria for the last 3 years have been running an air attack ship. Our air attack ships are the ones that fly over the fires and kind of tell us where to use our helicopters, where to use our air tankers. They tell us where the fire is going. So us on the ground can use our resources more effectively. So we have one here, we have one out of Paso. My 166 corridor that I run a lot will run the Santa Maria ship if it's here. That's also a federal resource, which is gone most of the summer. When they start busting fires in Florida or Colorado, that thing's gone. So I don't depend on that one too much.
Jean?
Dan said to stretch it out here. So as far as the calls, I know there was one three-day weekend in January, and with the four-day weekend in February, it probably reflected too as far as Oceano and the dunes. You want to just touch that, how we move up?
Yeah, the dunes is our responsibility. It's in county and state lands. It's our responsibility. And we, with automatic aid agreements, we've had Oceano go out there for years and take those calls. We send our engine 22 down to cover. And that's one of the reasons we just started counting those go cover Oceano calls. And that's the reason why Station 22 has increased the calls so much last year.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much.
Sheriff's Office, we have a new person, don't we, Dick?
Yeah, our prior commander, Robin Weckerly, retired, and the new commander down there is Jim Taylor. I've spoken with Jim, and he was unable to make it tonight, but he hopes to be here next month.
Would there be any chance of talking to him through one of the meetings, or any one of the commanders or something, just for show and tell?
Well, I'm sure that he'd be trying to do what he can for
it. Would we like that?
Yeah. Sure. What is his name, Jack?
Jim Taylor.
Jim Taylor.
No, the canine.
Oh.
Well, there's three of them now. And, I'm not sure which one was down in South Station.
Okay, I think that one needs to continue there. Okay. Irish Hall.
Good evening. It's been a few months since I've seen y'all, so hope you've had a good start to your new year. Must not be a popular place to be this evening. These days are pretty packed, or things are going good, so that's good. A few local things I wanted to go over. Tech and Mary were still having problems with that, so we were out there again this weekend. I think we've been out there pretty consistent on the weekends or whenever we get complaints about it. So we'll continue to be out there monitoring that for the swap meet gets out, things like that, because we want to make sure that we're keeping the road clear, those intersections clear, and making sure it's safe for everybody. So that's the one big traffic complaint we've been getting from the Pomo, so we're trying to take care of that the best way we can. That happens if you get the ticket, so hopefully you're seeing a change in that. Also, what I'd like to ask y'all's opinion on, where you would like to see the radar trailer for Napomo or for the Mesa, for this part of the county. We have it out year-round, and we move it all around the county. Our San Luis Obispo CHP's responsibility, which comes from Santa Margarita south to the river, as you know. So right now we've been trying to work it south and then work it back north, and tomorrow is the day to bring it back down here. So I don't know what are some of the areas that y'all think it needs to be to help the public out?
Now that you've imposed this horrendous speed of 25 on Las Flores, it might be advisable because...
We didn't impede that.
No, I...
So Las Flores?
Las Flores.
At what intersection or what area?
Tenth and Las Flores.
Tenth and Las Flores, okay.
And then I saw one of the officers park his car at Dan Elementary and was standing across the street from the school with a radar gun. And was there problems with in front of the school or just...
Well, schools are always an important place for us to be. Oops, sorry. And we're going to try and be there beginning in the mornings or the evening times. So he was probably using a LiDAR, which is a handheld radar device. And not that we've been getting any complaints from schools, but it's a place that we think is important to be at the beginning of school. And then when the school lets out, we've had some complaints from some residents about kids walking through and some, as they get out of high school and stuff, speeding through the neighborhood. So we try to get to those areas just to either, for one, for a presence, for two, if we need to write some tickets, we will.
I think another place for your trailer would be Osage and maybe about Tejas. All the parents are going up to the school up on the hill. I mean, they're racing through there at 40 and 50 miles an hour. And that's a 35 mile an hour area posted.
Okay. We've received traffic circulation, received complaints, Mesa, between Osage and Taft. There's a speed limit there. And received complaints along Camino Caballo.
Both sides of Palmore
and
Camino Caballo.
Sorry, say again? Both sides of Palmore.
And Camino Caballo.
And we'll keep it down here. We'll move it all around to these different... We'll usually keep it in one place for a week or two. And we'll move it somewhere else. Yes, sir.
What is the trailer actually? Is it just showing your speed?
Yes, it shows the speed limit. And then it shows what your speed is at that time. It'll blink if you're too fast.
Okay, so
it's like
all the rest around.
It's all the rest of it. It's not
something. Yes, it's portable.
It's just portable.
Okay.
And we try to keep it out.
It's not taking pictures of the guy.
No, we don't do that.
Do you staff them or?
No, we do not staff them.
The county puts theirs out there occasionally too.
I'm sorry, say it again.
The county puts their trailer out there.
Yes. Ours have the highway patrol stickers and emblems on it. We don't issue citations from those. It's just simply a public relations thing to say, hey, and usually when they see it, it means that there's been some complaints or some problems, or it's a safety thing that we think that the citizens or the people that live in that area or travel that area need to understand this is a speed limit, and then shortly thereafter you'll probably see us around. So therefore, we can write down the notes, the ticket, that it was there.
So you see 40 up there and you look here at the speedometer.
It's not calibrated, okay. It's going to be close, but that radar is not calibrated, okay. So that's why we don't issue citations out there, or use that as, we don't sit behind a tree and watch that and say, okay, it's not calibrated for quarter for legal things. It's just a public relations tool that we like to use. Yes, ma'am?
I've also heard Hazel between Division and Tech. And try Juniper from Front Edge to Palmore.
Juniper, say again?
Front Edge to Palmore.
Okay. So we'll have it out here for a few months. Hopefully you see a change. Hopefully you see a difference on the weekends at Taft and Mary. Yeah. Hoping so.
Yeah, that's the biggie. Yeah.
We're towing a lot of cars in there. There is a lot of unlicensed drivers. The good thing is that for the most part, they have insurance. That's what one of the guys was telling me today before I came up here. So if you can find a good thing, that's one of them. Yes, ma'am.
Is there any possibility at all of a three-way stop at Mary and Juniper?
We don't. That would be the county.
Okay, I'll go.
The county.
Traffic and Circ.
Yeah, the county would come out and take care of that.
You can't move on Sundays, let alone...
It's because your town's growing. It's popular. Whether you like it or not.
Stop the dumping.
Any more questions?
Well, I'll go over a couple of staff real fast. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Some of these schools are set back too far. And when you see the sign that says school zone 25 miles an hour when children are present. Does that mean they're present in that air frontage area near the road, or they just have in class?
No, we're looking for when kids are walking to and from school, right, or being dropped off in the school zone. When they're actually, or they're crossing the road, when they're actually outside of the perimeter of the school, of the fence, and not when they're playing, you know, at recess or something. We're talking before school, when parents are dropping them off earlier, or if they're a little late, and then when school gets out. Okay, we're not. I wish that the state would put a time on there, like some other states have, so it's better defined, if that's what we have to work with. But it is for when our children are actually present, walking along the road, or being dropped off, or riding their skateboards, or whatnot.
Well, you've got to watch for minimum days and teachers.
Yes, that's why, you know, you got to watch for kids. That's the main thing. It's, you know, if you go 25 feet all the time, then you're safe. But it's not Saturdays and Sundays, unless they're in Saturday school. Yes, sir.
Are you going to get a motorcycle policeman?
We have a motor officer, and it was Officer Dana. He's still here. However, we don't have a motorcycle that is stationed here. And that is based on the department, for one, with the way money is, that they're not taking bikes away from busier areas, for one. For two, they don't feel like the traffic here is busy enough that a motor officer is needed right now. So from time to time, they will borrow one from Santa Barbara or Ventura or Monterey, which is the closest offices that have motors. But even here lately, they haven't had any extra ones for us to go up there and borrow for a month or two at a time. We've been trying to get them here for the 11 years I've been here. Everybody, the department always says no.
I just want to ask about the 25-mile-an-hour zone in front of the Lopez Continuation School, mm-hmm. right on Highway 1.
Yes,
you never see any children there because all the kids come by car. So you have to slow down from...
Whenever that sign says when children are present, there are some kids that are going to walk from school there. Granted, more than likely it's from buses, or they're some of them drive, parents pick them up. But there might be that time when there are some adolescent high school children or young adults walking around. So
there's also a little bit of a preschool daycare.
Yeah, they have the students who have.
You never see children outside.
Yeah,
of
I haven't seen them there either.
I travel there all the time, every day.
Yeah, I think it's used a little bit for the students to have kids.
Mostly it's boys walking away smoking.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
Maybe go over a few stacks real quick, and then I'll be out of your hair here. I brought a book, and what we do is each year we're part of it's called the Chief Challenge. It's a California law enforcement challenge that the department does. And this year we did stats. We kind of looked at stats from 2005 to 2011, right? And even though our population here, this town is doubled, you have seen a lot of growth here in the last 10 years. For our area, San Luis area itself, total collisions are down 30% from 2005 through 2011. Fatal collisions were down 53%, injury crashes down 30%, DUI injury crashes down 45%, injury collisions that were where speed was found to be at fault down 31%, DUI fatals down 25%. Speeding fatal collisions up 66%. That's because in 2005 we only had one. And alcohol-related collisions were down 27%. So we're doing good as I think that reflects on us as a community, the communities all around this area. And I hope that reflects on us as a department that we're out doing what we need to be doing to try and keep the public safe. This year our DUIs were up. We had 702 DUIs arrests this year, up from 584, but DUI crashes are down. So hopefully that means that we're out doing our job, but that also does mean statistics don't lie. It shows us that you as a community are doing your part to help us out. So we appreciate that. Yes, sir.
What about the staffing for your department if in this area?
Our staffing, I've been here, transferred here in 2001, and staffing levels haven't changed as far as the numbers that are allotted to the San Luis Obispo CHP. They go up and down. They go up and down depending on injuries, retirements, how the department's going. Right now, I believe we have 34 officers assigned there. Few injuries, few retirements. We probably have 27, 26 out working the road, which, you know, sometimes they've been down below that. So the 12-hour shifts really help us at staffing levels because it keeps it, it allows us to put more bodies out on beats throughout the day. So I don't see staffing levels increasing with the way the economy is and the budget. Templeton CHP, which is within this county, they're at the same staffing levels as 1971. So it is what it is. As a department, we've always just, it is what it is. We just do with what we have and move on. So if you have any questions, you have my email, give me a call. If you have any other areas, yes, sir.
No, I'd just like to thank you. I was watching your officers yesterday at Mary and Taft, and I thought they did an outstanding job clearing the intersection for those cars that are coming off of the SWAT team. So I would encourage you to keep it up. Good job.
I will let them know. Our volunteers have been going out there with them. I know that one of our retired officers went out there yesterday with them just to help them, because every time they go out there, they get inundated with paperwork. They had three crashes happen, and one in the intersection while they were there, and two happened in the parking lot of it. So your little town, I don't live here, but I've been here a lot, is growing. So yes, ma'am.
I'm wondering why I could get on TEF yesterday without too much trouble.
We'll continue to try to be down there. I know the officers that work this area a lot, they know that the times that this goes on, and usually they'll prepare in advance to have a few officers or sergeant members.
It's nothing new.
I got one question. The officers, does he get assigned to one area and he stays in that area for a long time, or does he jump around in different areas?
Talk about offices or just beats?
No, the beat. Let's say it's a little of the problem. So the guy who has the area, he knows where the problem are, or does it get shuffled up to somewhere else?
It goes by seniority. These are handed out daily by seniority, but you have a lot of officers that have a particular area that they like to work. So you will see the same officer usually around here a lot. I know we have some officers that live here locally now that like to work here, to work in their own community. So you'll see the same ones most of the time. Sometimes somebody gets shuffled down here because somebody with seniority likes to work the north end. It just depends. But usually, now since we have the 12-hour shifts, there's always a beat 55 every day, which is what this is, beat 55 for us, which when I transferred here in 2001, we didn't ever get to beat 55. We didn't have enough people. So that's a good thing. That shows that, you know, that we have enough people that we're assigning a beat 55 on a daily basis. There's one here tonight. I heard it working. So.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Have a good night. Take care.
Thank you. Much.
Okay. This is the Old County Planning Staff. Ryan will not be available. I don't see Park Commissioner Connie. The Fulton County Service District, are you official now?
I'm official. Everybody gets one then. Because he's got one.
Yes.
Yes, I have one.
What I just passed out is a report that last Friday the Como Mesa Management Area Technical Group issued. This technical group is the only court-recognized authority on the Como Mesa for regarding water conditions. This report was issued to report on the beneficial impacts of the supplemental water project. It said that the supplemental water project, and I've underlined a couple lines in there, which to me are the bottom lines of the whole report, says that the supplemental water project will allow well levels which have been dropping on the mesa to rise. It will also reduce the risk of seawater intrusions that have been documented in Oceana. This report can be downloaded. It's on the NCSD website, ncsd.ca.gov. under what's new. Just click on what's new and there it is. There's going to be an NCSD meeting on next Wednesday, about 9 o'clock here. The highlight of the meeting is going to be item E2, which is the assessment engineer's report, a draft of the assessment engineer's report. And it's not as bad as it looks. It's mostly maps. And what's in here is a map of every parcel that's in the proposed assessment district by parcel number, I guess. I'm not sure what the numbering system is. But if you're not on this map and you're not in one of these lots, supplemental law doesn't apply to you. What's going to happen at that meeting is we're going to be, this report talks about it describes a supplemental water project, it estimates construction costs, talks about the formation of the assessment district to fund the construction, and it has details on how the individual properties are assessed to pay for the construction. Also in that item, there's going to be a draft ballot. It's going to be a mail-out ballot for the assessment vote, and there's a draft ballot in that package for the board to consider. This agenda, like I said, is on the website. It will also be posted on the bulletin boards outside. The same day, if we can get our chairman of the NCSD to run a speedy meeting, that afternoon from 1 to 3 at the Santa Maria Library will be a final report on the Santa Maria River Steelhead Revival Study. What this group has been doing is trying to figure out if they let more water out of Twitchell to make the Santa Maria River run more days of the year clear to the ocean to create a path for steelhead to go upstream. How many more days or how much water do they need to let out and let more steelhead in? So that study's been going on for about a year. And I think the results are going to be at this one. A lot of people are complaining. They say, why are you trying to introduce steelhead where they have no business? But they claim that they do have steelhead populations upstream, and all they need is that to connect every once in a while for the ones out in the ocean to come up and visit their friends in the north and make new steelheads. You probably have heard that the park EIR the draft park EIR is out. Presentation will be at Nipomo High School on June 8th. From 6 to 8.
March 8th.
From 6 to 8 on March 8th. I glanced at the thing last night. What's really very curious is there are no Class 1 impacts, even though they're eliminating 2.5 acres of oak woodland, and we'll see. The next NCSD meeting, not the next SD, next NCSD meeting, the one after the next one, on March 14th, will be the possible approval of going ahead with the ballot for the assessment district for supplemental water. And another agency I'm involved with, LAFCO, on March 15th is going to have a very popular meeting at the Board of Supervisors room, and it's going to be considered the annexation of a property called Los Robles del Mar into the city limits of the city of Turismo Beach. There's a lot of people both inside and outside of Turismo Beach that don't want it to be annexed, and there are a few people that do want it to be annexed. So it has been rejected 2 years ago because of water, and this time it will be either annexed or not annexed because of water. So that's all I have to say.
Any questions? John?
I have a question. There was a survey that was sent out because it was due back on the 24th. When is the results from that expected or going to occur?
I don't know. I think final results are supposed to come back by either March 7th or March 14th, I think.
Anything else? Okay.
You said this Los Robles,
it's going to depend on water, but they still won't have that, right?
Well, that's the debate. The city of Pismo Beach says it requires a certain amount of water for buildup.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got that much water.
Mm-hmm.
But to add one more property would require more water than the build-out estimate is. And this Rolls Royce Del Mar is going to need 300 acre feet of water, or 200, or 100, depending on which, who you want to believe.
Okay.
But it's still over the amount that Pismo has, says they have available for build-out.
Mm-hmm.
So because of this controversy over the water calculations by both the city and the opponents, they sent it out to a consultant to analyze what the needs are to the tune of about $25,000, and he'll come back with that report on the 15th, and we'll hear a third opinion on what the water situation is.
Who's paying for the consultant?
The pro bonus, which is the city of Pismo Beach, but they are paid, I think they are completely paid for by the developer. But when you go to LAFCO for an annexation, you sign an agreement, but all the costs LAFCO has to do to figure this thing out will be billed to the person who's applying for the annexation. And so the Pismo Beach paid for the first part of it, and now they have to go back and do more research. So they're doing both a traffic study, which is maybe $5,000 for the consultant, and they're also doing a water study, which is close to $25,000. So it's not that for itself.
It's not to pay directly for itself either.
No, he would probably, because the billing, I saw the bills. The bills go to the city of Pismo Beach, and the bills have to be paid before the study is undertaken.
Okay. Any more questions? One more, if it's okay. Anything on the controversy going on as far as Oceano saying that there's no saltwater treatment?
Funny you should ask. I have a letter here from the Oceano Community Services District, which you might be familiar with. Dated November 24, 2009. It's to the county, and it's from the Oceano Community Services District. It says they found seawater intrusion, and they want water from the state. They want state water so they can cut back on the groundwater pumping. Four other municipalities in five cities, Rio Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, maybe three others, all sent similar letters to the county saying that there was seawater intrusion in Oceano, we need to cut back on our groundwater pumping, and so they did. They all cut back to the tune of as much as 85% on their groundwater pumping. The following year, when the next Northern Cities annual report came out, they noted that the seawater intrusion went down, or it disappeared. But for the years 2009 and 2010, the annual reports from the technical group stated there was seawater intrusion. So you had Oceano CSD saying there was seawater intrusion, the other cities around it saying there was seawater intrusion. They cut back their groundwater pumping. They're still cut back on their groundwater pumping. And now a new Oceano Community Services District came in and says there was no seawater intrusion.
Yeah.
So the new OCSD is composed of four new members, one old member, and a new general manager. And they have all decided that it never happened. And funny thing is, NCSD got drawn into this, but it wasn't NCSD studies, it wasn't our reports or anything else. But we got blamed because we noticed it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I was on board when all that stuff went down, and I can shut some light on that for you if you want sometime, or I can do it now if you guys want to make time, or I can do it later if you're interested.
Anything else for Ed?
Pardon me?
Anything else for Ed?
You're up next. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
You're up for the school report.
Oh, okay. You know, we've had an excellent meeting last week where we're starting to get off the ground with the New Tech High. And we now have 150 students identified that will be attending. We'll probably lose some of those. There's some on a waiting list already. And, that's just typical. We have our 150 students identified, and we had a meeting for the first night, or for the first time, with the parents and the students. So the first meeting of the first class to attend. And we kicked it off by already starting to get the environment and the atmosphere going for the school. And that's a very important, critical part of the school, is to get the environment set properly. And so the first thing we did was we started them off showing them how projects were going to work in the new school, and we assigned them their first project. And so we started out, the first project for them to be is to determine what the school mascot and the school colors are going to be. And they started it out as a regular type project that we do throughout the school, and this includes the parents as well. So the parents are now involved in this project along with the students. And so that was pretty great. We're going over our budget here. I have a meeting tomorrow to go over the budget again and start putting that together. We're going into negotiations. Those are starting with the teachers again this year. It's at that time. Teachers are wanting a raise, and there's no money to do it with. So that's going to be probably a little bit of a stress on us, busy time of the year, and some busy things to do. And that's, pretty much all I can add at this point. The main highlights of what's been going on.
Any questions?
Of course, Jean.
Is the New Tech High, would the new teacher hire?
We have three of the teachers already hired and identified, and we have our math teacher, our social studies teacher,
and an English teacher, something.
Yeah, one of the other teachers. I don't remember what they
call. I'm just curious. Any layoffs, would they be looked at to be first hired?
We're trying not to have any layoffs.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't expect any layoffs. That's one of our big goals, is to have no layoffs. If we have to reduce our staff in any way, we're going to try to do it through attrition. This is actually going to help us because we went first within the school district to hire, and I think the ones that are hired right now come from within our school district.
Same classified?
Yeah, same classified. And same with staff. And so that opened up positions within the district to fill from anyone that, if there's any positions that need to be cut, that gives those additional places for people to move to. And so that's, that is one of our big goals with the board, is, with the district as well, is to try to go through this without any layoffs.
I got a question. Yes. How many students you say will be going to the new school in the high school?
Our first class is set for 150 students.
150.
And then we expect to increase it by 150 each year until we're at 600 students.
You said we have our math teacher.
We have our math teacher, our social studies teacher, and one other. I can't remember what the other one teaches.
Probably English. Probably English.
Is there more than one type of math course going to be taught during the year?
The math will be taught in conjunction with another class, probably science. And it's going to be at whatever levels, they break into groups. So I imagine the people that are not as strong in math will be brought up with the other students. The students kind of help each other out as well, so it's not just a
lecture-type teaching, being that it's a hands-on, project-based. When there's students that are not up to par, the other students are there to help them out, so they're getting a lot more what would normally done as tutoring off, you know, outside the classroom. Tutoring is done in a regular school setting. Here, you'll have it within the groups. I think you'll have a lot of the students helping the other ones get up to
the Will they eventually getting stuff like algebra, geometry, calculus?
You know, I don't know what level the math is. The math is probably has a lot of review and a lot of and probably some of those some algebra and stuff within the first years. And the projects probably get harder as you get, you know.
So one math teacher is going to take care of 150 students.
One math teacher will take care of 150 math, you know, math the students for math. The classes will be 50 in a class, so they'll probably rotate through. So they'll have the teacher will probably teach three classes in a day, something like that.
Boy.
Yeah.
Heavy. It's a heavy commitment. 50
yeah. Kids. Yeah. The teachers are working very hard.
Yeah.
And we're very cutting edge in this district. We're mm-hmm. doing a lot of stuff that's not happening anywhere else in the state, mm-hmm. and some stuff that is just you know that is. Cutting edge, and we're doing it on a very thin budget. It is, it's amazing the stuff that is happening here.
Did you say that the classes are 2 hours each?
Classes are, I think they run about an hour and a half to two, somewhere in there. Hmm. Yeah, they're longer, there's two subjects in a class, so they're about the length of two regular class periods. The kids will go first, their first period, they'll be doing their PE at their high school, either Napomo or both Napomo or Margarita. And then they'll come in to do their classes. And then any band or music or so will be done at either Napomo or Margarita High School.
Is that later in the day?
Band will probably be later in the day. PE's first period of the day.
Busing.
Busing, I don't know how that's figured out yet. I don't know how that's working yet. I can check into it farther, but you know that is we do understand that that's going to be an issue and that's being, you know, I'm sure it's being worked out. I know it's been talked about. The you know, as far as the teachers and teaching, we've put a lot on them this year. It's with the TAP stuff that's going on, there's new evaluations that are happening with teachers. You know, the way the teacher evaluations have done in the past, where they're basically just a process you went through that didn't mean anything. Everybody got, you're doing fine. You know, I mean, that's how everybody was graded. That's about all there was to it. And now they're developed with the TAP, they've developed a rubric for the teachers actually to look and see what areas they need help in and what areas, you know, they're doing well in, and being able to get that support to be able to teach in a better fashion. And when, you know, a lot of them after beginning, you're doing great or you're doing fine for year after year after year along with everybody else, now all of a sudden they're getting these evaluations that are saying, well, you need to improve here, you need to improve here, this is your weak area, this is your strong area. You know, it's sometimes it's a little bit hard. And so they're working very hard. They've got, as a general rule, they've got a really good attitude toward it.
For sure.
The new evaluations, I hope, are not going to be based on how well the students do on standardized tests.
No, I don't think they're so much based on how well the students do, but as And I think that what they do, one of the things they look at, and I don't know if it's part of the evaluation or not, but I know they look at how much the student has improved over the year in the class. So they're looking at improvement from, you know, where they started out and where they've gone to. But more they're looking at technique. There have, you know, other teachers come in and have, you know, master teachers and teachers that are trained in looking at the different ways to bring subjects across. And showing, you know, to try to help them enroll the kids, to help them get, engage them and get them encouraged to move forward and that type of thing.
And they take into consideration in these evaluations of the teachers the population of the classes that they teach and the cooperation of the parents who are involved, etc.
All those things, you know, play a role in the kids' develop, you know, child's development. It's not, you know, just the teacher and what's going on with the teacher.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm a teacher, and yeah. I have two teachers in my family.
Yeah.
One at elementary, one at middle school.
Yeah. And all those things are important, you know, in a child's development. But what the emphasis is more to give the teachers the tools to be able to grow,
okay.
You know, so that it's not just an autonomous room that everybody turns their back to and you know, here's your room, you do what you do, we, you know, and just give the kids back up in a year.
As long as the new teaching standards do take into consideration all those other social impacts on the classroom and the performance of the students.
I haven't seen the actual rubric that's being used, but I can get it for you.
Right? I would appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bert.
Yeah, you're welcome. Appreciate it.
Interesting.
Let's open up the public comment.
Well, my name's John Snyder, and I wanted to report on a few things on water today. First of all, as you know, NCSD has been attempting to proceed ahead with the Supplemental Water Project. They've done a number of presentations. I've been checking on what they've been saying, and one of the things they've said, which is clearly not true, is that Santa Maria's water includes 90% plus state water. I went back and looked at the urban water management plan for Santa Maria, and you know, clearly in the recent history, it's not been 90%, it's averaged 74%, and been as low as 54%, which means that the water quality is not as good as when you have 100% state water. And the related issue, during the presentations, Mr. LeBruin, the general manager, said that there was not a profit margin in the water. And I went back and looked at the audio tapes and the recordings of the Santa Maria meetings. And indeed, they're talking about making a profit. They've used that word, the employees and the council members have used that word specifically. And they're talking about taking the money that Napomo was giving them and basically using it to offset costs from municipal services. They haven't decided where it would go, but like police and fire. And that creates a little dilemma for Napomo. And that is, when you have a rainy year and there's plenty of water, the water quality will be good. They have a lot of state water. They'll be siphoning money off to the police and fire department. And then after a while, when the drought comes, they're going to be faced with the decision of how much additional state water they're going to need to buy to increase the supply to bring the water quality up. And they're going to have to balance that against whether they want to have a police or fire officer. And my thinking is they're going to choose to have lower water quality and more police and fire officers. And so one of the things that they also talked about was meeting their standard at the sewer plant by banning salt water softeners and just having worse water quality. So I think that's something that we need to be concerned about. The other thing is Mr. LeBruin said in the newspaper that it would cost only $8 a month more. And I haven't been able to come anywhere near that number. And I went back to a document that was presented in 2008 where NCSD was estimating it would be $33 to $54 per month for water. So there's no real explanation of how, and I've seen in public records, there's no explanation of how they got from 54 to 8. Mr. Eby tonight said that the court recognizes the technical group, I went to the technical group approval for the TMA at the court, and I want to point out that the only thing that's been approved by the court is the response plan, and that was appealed. Everything else has just been filed with the court. And the recognition that the stipulation gives the technical group is that they shall have no heightened evidentiary weight in any proceeding before the court. And then some people wonder who the outcome could be virtually here. And then the you talk about court acceptance or approval, there's a weird twist in that the people who signed the stipulation agreed that the court would approve something that was in the conditions and response plan, so the court really had no option to not approve that. And so it doesn't really have any heightened meaning in a real situation. And there are some other things, but my time's up.
Thank you very much.
Mike Eisner. I've stayed very neutral during this whole water project. I think most of you know that I'm sort of involved in the community, and I don't speak out until I have something that I think needs to be spoken to. Last Saturday, I attended a meeting at Trilogy, put on by the Mesa Water Group, and it was talking about desalinization. Very, very good presentation. Sorry to say only 11 people were there. Vince was there, I was there, Jim Harrison, but there were only 11 people there. Representative from Sand City, which is up by Monterey, made a visual presentation. They did a great job. They are producing 300 acre feet of water a year. The project cost them $12 million to produce. And it cost them $2,600 per acre foot for the water. Now, being somewhat mathematically inclined, I said to them, okay, we need 3,000 acre feet. So instead of 12 million, that's 120 million. If we're putting out 3,000 acre feet, will my per unit cost diminish? And the answer was no. It will still run around $2,600 an acre foot. Very cost prohibitive, impossible. So when it was all over with, I sat down and I analyzed where we're at on this. We have been instructed, we have been ordered, the POMA has been ordered to stop pumping water out of the aquifer. The pipeline, because desal is not available, the pipeline is a logical way to go. It's $1,300 an acre foot is what it's going to cost to get from Santa Maria, half the cost of desal. We need to stop the arguing, stop the fighting. We don't have a choice. The courts have said this. Now, I know the people in the NCSD district are very upset about the cost. I'm in the Golden State area, okay? I pay Golden State. You complain about $100 a month for your water bill. My water bill is $300 a month. From approximately May until at least October or November. And I have three 15% rate increases coming due over the next 3 years. So NCSD has a good way to go here. I think everyone's got to get behind it and support it. And the dissension and the arguing and all of the other comments need to stop. Support NCSD. I think it's the way to go.
Thank you, Mike. Any more public comment? Shall we forego the break? Just try to get done here?
Yeah.
You're not sure to go. I'll take that as a yes.
Yes.
Okay. All we have in the old is you've got the liquid collector's plan going around. Cool project money.
Sure. Several months ago, Marion Buckmeyer approached the chair and requested some of the funds to use for cleanup on the Los Barrios road area of the Mesa. The council authorized that use of dump funds. That category is tracked separately from SCAC's other categories of funds. As of December 31st, we had $1,885.76 in that fund category. Marianne Buckmeyer was given approval to hire some individuals to do that. She hired two young people at $11 an hour. Over the course of several weeks, they picked up 74 bags of trash, four discarded tires, and a couple of carcasses of dead deer along Los Barrios.
Wow.
They spent a total of 45 hours on this effort and were paid accordingly at $990 for their total work. That currently leaves a total of $895.76 in the dump fees category. Mary Ann has agreed to assist us in coordinating further cleanup efforts if the council so desires.
My idea was maybe it's time we hit Jeff in Old Town or something, clean that up. Listen, Neil, that's another idea. I think we may as well spend down the money.
There are lots of volunteer groups out there to do this work. First of all, $11 an hour is a fantastic amount of money. I wish I would have known about it. I would have been out there picking it up myself. Mary Ann used to call Save the Mesa, and as Ed knows, a bunch of us would get out there, and then Mary Ann would feed us afterwards. I think with all of the service clubs, community service, and all the other things that are available in this community, I see no reason to spend the money just because it's there. If someone has a specific problem, and just using a hypothetical, I don't mean this, if Vince has a problem where he's incapacitated, he's got lots of things that he has to get out of his yard, that's where this money comes in, to help the community, not road cleanup. Right?
Yeah, there is a kind of piggybacking off what you're saying there, Mike. Like Kiwanis has a key club, our guys, down at Napoma High School, and they're looking for things to do for the community. Right. And they get credit for doing these things.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that'd be an excellent project for them.
Interact with Rotary, same situation.
Right. And I don't pay the dump fees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they fall off.
Like right at home, we picked up 3 tons in one day. We're all
volunteer. Right. So my suggestion is we don't just arbitrarily use this for picking up trash on the roads. I think we need to save it and get the word out that we do have it for a person such as Vince who needs it, you know.
And actually, I would think that the money would be spent on things outside of the county right away, right away. My feelings always been to be along the right away, cleaning up roads and things like that. Do we actually have no right to go on public or private property? Plus, it's a liability. Right. But it seems like does he want to carry this any differently or anything? If not, let's just rob it. Just wait for opportunity to come up.
Exactly.
Dan, you might talk to your client owners or something.
Be glad to.
If they want to go out and see if they want to go out and pick stuff up, we could probably arrange you rid of the garbage. That's something to think about. Okay.
Can I put 2 cents in here? Mm-hmm. I'm over near the park there. We do have a homeowners association, and once a year, if not twice a year, we clean up right along Juniper. And South County Sanitation worked really well with us. All we did was get everybody's big green monsters and put them right along the basin. And they were kind enough just to pick it up, so there was no dump fees even involved. But other projects, you know, just turn in your dumpies and save the Mesa funding can go for that. Yeah. Yeah. But you shouldn't have to be somebody that I'm not to now. Thank you.
Okay, we're done.
Okay, drop that. Let's go on community reports.
No new business.
No new business.
I don't know what it falls under, but Vern was going to do some research on the permit for the permits for the.
It's probably next month we'll be getting into.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I already got some of the research done and turned over a report to the traffic people tonight.
Well, it extends beyond traffic, it sounds like. It's a lot of other areas. But I think this is something that we really need to jump on.
Mm-hmm. I have the document in a PDF file now, the two documents I put together. One shows all the conditional use permits that are there, and then some notes that I've made on it. And I can email that. I guess I can email that to Dan, and you can get it out to everybody else.
Yeah,
I
can. For all of us.
And it, again, only deals with the stuff going on that has to do with traffic. It doesn't deal with the rest of the stuff going on down there. There's a lot of use permit violations beyond the
Good talk. Good. Next month, I think.
About 6 months ago, we talked about touring the dump facilities out there in San Luis.
Kind of a discussion, yes.
Have you done anything about that?
I haven't, no.
I think it would be very interesting.
You want to pursue that?
Well, I mentioned that we could tour out there and they offer all that you could eat.
You got to fight yourself and help yourself, right? Yeah. Fight the words.
Bring your own service.
I've been on a tour of that. Is it the Christ Canyon landfill? What was it called?
Cold.
I've been on a tour out there. They took the NCSD out there, and it was very interesting. They first drove us around, showed us the area where they do the landfill stuff. The tractors go around, the seagulls, and the guys shooting the seagulls, and really. And then they showed us the composting area, which is where they grind up all the stuff, and they had a big long row 6 feet tall, high. Unfortunately, they had to get rid of that because of neighbors complained.
Yeah.
But then they took us into the recycling facility, and that was the interesting part. That's where all the glass and bottles and aluminum cans and paper, all that stuff, gets separated, sorted, stacked into bales, sent to China so it can come back to you as a TV.
Yes.
The beer bottles there, you wouldn't believe it. And they're mostly Sierra Nevada, so I know where my...
There it is.
But it was very interesting, and then he took us in afterwards and, you're right, they fed us all. But they have a little classroom in there where you actually do all this tour. They take you in there and they tell you all the statistics. But they were very cordial about it and very hospitable, and they are set up to do that. And all you have to do is get the right person to ask Tom Martin. That's how you do it.
You don't have to set it up. It should be wanting to go.
It's very interesting.
And the contact manager?
Tom Martin.
I
learned that when you throw away your water bottles and all of that stuff, take the tops off. Because when they try to do compression down on these things, they don't explode as much as they make blisters, and this big blister comes outside the bale, and you got all these bubbles on the outside.
What about the cooler coffee containers? What about coffee containers?
I don't know about those.
No problem.
But the lids are recyclable too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to visit it if something's going to be set up.
What's that?
I'd like to visit the landfill sometime.
Yeah, that'd be very interesting. So, I'm just not going to make a phone call.
Okay, while you're saying that, story, you want to tell us about any land use issues?
Any what?
Land use issues.
Oh, land use issues. We had one land use presentation, and the engineer who came to represent the owners had a lot of fielded a lot of questions, but called me afterwards and said he had spoken to the owners of the property and they wanted to put any meetings off until March. They're not ready to appear yet. So we've toured the property, and LJ and Hans took me on a tour, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride down the property. And it's an unusual piece of property that we really need to look at very carefully before we hear from them. It's a long, narrow piece between a nursery and some other residences, and the owner's property is on the bluff side with the ocean view. Everything else, I don't know why anybody would ever buy a house there. And the bluff, the open space that they don't dedicate, are trying to dedicate, goes straight down the bluff. So they're ice in the wintertime, you know, is what they're offering in terms of any kind of sweeping of the deal. So, but they will be appearing again after they get some questions. There's water questions, there's access questions, there are road questions, and we spent some time with the engineer, who is knowledgeable and very cordial, but we'll have nothing for you yet. Saturday, I picked up the mail, and there were two new apps, and I put an email out to all of you, giving you the numbers,
and the access. But the only thing I'd like to mention is that the one of the things that was in the mailbox had to do with the DEIR for the Napomo master plan, community master plan. And that meeting, they're having a community meeting that is going to happen on March 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Napomo High School. And I suggest, they're not going to be taking any formal complaints in the announcement, so they'll be taking no formal comments at that meeting. It's just an informational meeting. But Dan just gave me the master plan, and just skimming through it, I already found a questionable entry here that we need to question, because apparently the proponents of full build-out of Community Park have managed to change some of the facts in the report. We really need to keep on top of this, so we're going to lose that Community Park to some
Is that the one over
on Pomeroy and Ted? And we've seen various, I've been on, I don't know how many little meetings with Jan DeLeo and through the years, and I personally do not understand, and I don't know if this is the appropriate time to talk about it, but I guess it is because we're going to be going to the meeting before the next meeting. I don't understand what the financial arrangement is going to be between this nonprofit organization, the recreational, the Napomo Recreation Corporation, whatever they are, committee, and who are building, who are going to have this facility built for them. And what kind of assessment is going to be on the property owners and or the taxpayers in order to support a private company, essentially. It's a private business. It may be a nonprofit business, but it's a private business. And I think we need to follow this very closely. So I'm going to be there March 8th. I hope you will be there March 8th.
I think a lot of the economic stuff way outside of our portfolio. So
pardon?
The economic stuff way outside of our portfolio.
Oh, I understand. It's just that it never. I've asked the question I don't know how many times. Nobody's given me a suitable answer. I've asked it of Jan DeLeo. I asked it of the various people from the rec center when we had these small meetings with Jan DeLeo. That question's never answered. Who's paying rent? You know, what kind of rent is going to be charged to this facility? Are the taxpayers going to have to pick up the bill for the liability insurances and the rental of these facilities? Because you are being asked to give up a third of your community parks.
Now, are you, as a committee, are you going to look at the EIR?
I am.
As a committee?
Well, we're not going to have a committee meeting until after.
Okay, but it's still
yes,
50 days for approval.
Yes, we are going. Yes, we will be looking at that.
Do you work with the chair of the Board of Recreation Committee so they don't overlap each other?
Absolutely. This is huge, and I'm just trying to. I'm going to go through a few areas that I earmarked because of the previous meetings we've had.
Do you mind you coordinate on that?
Yeah. Oh, we got it.
Okay, Ed?
I just got the letter announcing this thing and said where I could find it. I downloaded it last night, and I don't know, is 900 pages huge? It was only 900 pages. But, but the two areas that my eyes automatically went to was water and sewer. And I didn't read it in detail until it was after 12, and I could hardly, never mind that. They said that they were going to have their sewage all on septic, which is kind of interesting with that giant auditorium and gym and everything. And I think the NCSD will, or at least the county, will look into that to see if that's feasible, to put that big of a load on septic.
Yes.
The other thing they said is they were going to use more water than they're using now. And I don't know where they can get that water because I think they're negotiating with the NCSD on this assessment thing right now so that they'll get assessed less on the water by saying they're going to essentially restrict watering to certain areas. So it sounds to me like one part of the park people are cutting back on water, and the people who wrote that are expanding the water. So I think you can expect the NCSD, I expect the NCSD, to weigh in heavily on how correct it is on water and sewer. I don't know what you're going to do, though. You've got a Parks and Recreation Committee. I don't know what their function is. I thought it was to look at things like this.
I thought so, too.
And it sounds like you're going to
have coordination.
Yeah. But do you have a copy? You have a copy of this, you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike? I started today with 10 copies. I'm curious, Mr. Chair, you have a Parks and Recs Committee that is reviewing the EIR. That's their charge. You have asked to review it pertaining to traffic and circulation. I'm a little curious as to what land use's function is. You asked if land use was going to look at it. If land use is going to be evaluating the community center and things like that, which are not under the purview of land use, I'm not sure what I coordinate with her, in what respect. I'm very confused.
You're right. The development is not part of this, is not the issue.
That's correct.
I mean, it is an issue, but it's not part of the EIR right now. Mm-hmm. The EIR was based on full development, whether we like it or not.
Right.
Well, so, I think we're going to be dealing with that in the EIR. Right.
I don't see where land use actually has...
I don't want to step on your toes.
Mike. You're not.
Yeah, I have no...
I just don't want to duplicate. If land use is going to be doing certain parts, I understand it's discussions, but whatever it is you're doing.
Feels that I can step back. I would like to look through it.
Yes.
Well, anybody as a private citizen can comment on any part of it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a particular interest in a particular section, you're totally welcome to make comments on that.
And no comments are being welcomed at any rate at that March 8th meeting.
Well, that's what they will be as part of this.
Yes.
I haven't read it all, but there probably is a statement in here that says responses to this draft are due by a certain date.
Mr. Chair, if we can skip down on committee reports, we're going to go down to Parks and Rec Committee.
Okay.
All right. The Parks and Rec Committee has already met once, and they met earlier this evening, and the committee members have received a copy of the EIR. Their first purpose is to look at the EIR, and they're going to look at the executive summary to get an overview of what is this whole program, this whole project. As you know, we have 3 members from the SCAC, we have 3 members from the community. Next Monday, we're going to have an informal meeting in which the committee members are going to proceed to, after looking at the EIR, sit down and try to determine what sections each one of them wants to take and review and get further understanding of for on behalf of the committee. It is then the intent of this committee in the month of March to actually have a public posted meeting here at the NCSD in which we're going to ask the community to come in and give input on the EIR. It's our intent then to meet again, try to capsulize this whole thing, and if not earlier, if not through a special meeting in April, at the April SCAC meeting, make recommendations to the full board for hopefully adoption, adjustment, implementation, and those recommendations would then be submitted to the EIR personnel prior to the April 30th deadline. Now, if it's determined that we need a special meeting in April of the SCAC because of the fact that there's just too many things that have been decided, as you said, no Class 1 mitigation, so too many things that are there that need to be understood, analyzed, dissected, and so on, we may have to have 2 meetings in April. But by the April SCAC meeting, that's when hopefully the SCAC will be able to draft their recommendations, suggestions, and comments to the EIR. That's the plan of attack. It's open for any discussion, any recommendations. Unfortunately, this thing came out a month late. Clyde Cruz is now on a 1-month vacation and will not be back till April 4th. It's been put in my lap, And so I'm looking for any advice, any recommendations, but I'd rather not get into duplication.
I agree. No, I think though I personally would be very willing to come to a special meeting in April because I don't think we'll have enough time between Monday and April 30th to get this crystallized. So once you've done your job, post another meeting, I know that I'm not going to come back.
Is that when responses are due, April 30th?
Yes.
So I take it you're going to break this down all up by all month and see who are your group and how much.
That's what our suggestion is. With you handling traffic and circulation, we're going to eliminate that from our scope of discussion. You can handle it better than anyone. But the other aspects of it, such as the questions, and again, if you read this, community center, there's basically four options for the community center in the EIR. They don't specifically say it has to be in the center of the park. There are definitely problems with that in the EIR. And I did read about the septic. I saw that and the water and so on. So there are questions that need to be addressed on behalf of the community. But one of the things that I think is paramount here is we need to hear from the community. Okay, the EIR is out, and I do not believe that the SCAC should try to make decisions pertaining to this EIR without having input from the community. Posted input. Well, we will go ahead and notice that there's going to be a meeting. We'll make it in the evening. Yeah, and welcome the community with open arms to just give us input pertaining to the EIR. I already know that the Park Conservancy is working on it, and I'm sure there are other groups in the community that are also working on this thing. So it should be a well-attended meeting.
April is one of those months that we have five Mondays. Is the SCAC meeting on the fourth Monday? On the fourth?
Yeah.
So that would be the 23rd.
Yeah.
Okay. And this thing is due, when you say, Mike, the
30th is the date.
See, that wouldn't be enough time, really, for...
That's why I'm saying we'll probably have to have another meeting in April.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the plan of the committee at this time. I'm open to any suggestions, recommendations, whatever it is from the board or the public, but that's the plans to date.
If I see anything complicated in air quality and noise, I might respond also to that.
Okay.
Could get you kind of into an engineering area there. Let's go back to land use. LJ, did you want to say something about those?
I just like to, we've got a survey that's coming out, and we just got it today, so we haven't had a chance to dissect it, but they have left out a very important item, that they do not have any trails on here, so I would like the permission of the SCAC to write a letter to Jim Lopes and ask him why there are no trails on the survey.
Are you talking about pedestrian trails or?
Equestrian, multi-use trails.
Mike?
Mr. Chair, if I read that article correctly, they want to come and spend time with us in March.
Yes.
And rather than put salt in the wound at this time, I suggest that we wait until they come. They may be able to address it right then and there, and we don't look bad.
That'd be a chance to answer the questions.
I just thought the sooner the better that they realize that there are a lot of people in South County that find trails important. Jimmy Lopes, in case you don't know, is the planner that did the South County update back many years ago.
The trails are a Parks and Recreation issue. Mm-hmm. Is Parks and Recreation covered in there? Paths are a roads issue.
Yeah.
Or walkways.
They've got parks, public facilities. They don't
spell out
anything. Okay. It's just in the past. We know if it's not in writing, we're
going to defer. Okay, put your ideas together for March. Okay. Invite them to join us for March. Jeannie.
May I comment, Mike?
Yeah.
Hi. Just as far as getting the public notification, the Adobe, as you know, some people get it, some don't. It's damaged, it's wet, it's in the bushes. So I don't know where your publication is going to come from, but I just to let you know that that is not really a good source.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Could also, probably late Friday, and sent them out today to everybody, kind of late today. So if you haven't looked at email this afternoon, take a look at it, all the same thing on there. And I agreed to his meeting on, at our association meeting in March. So we'll get a lot more information on that. And I've seen this coming down the road for a long time, so it's another, another word for smart growth, I think. Going in that direction again. Okay, let's go on to...
I have another question I could have liked. You understand, Mike, it's just a sharp question, but on March 8th meeting, that's just going to be a dissemination of information. They're going to be taking any questions at all.
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay. There will be
no formal comments.
No formal comments taken. It is more informational.
Right.
That's it. Everything, all comments are to be in writing, sent to the listed person.
Okay. Back again, Jim. Did you know anything about this thing that LJ talked about, the complete communities plan?
No, I did not know what LJ has, but I do know what she's talking about.
Okay, you're gonna be, the NCSD is gonna be asked you to maybe join us at this meeting or something. I don't know how you're gonna do it. Maybe three of you can or something?
No. I'll talk to you afterwards.
Okay. Let's go on to traffic and circulation. I did not get to a construction meeting this month on the well interchange. It didn't have on the day unavailable. And the other thing going on is the County Public Works is going to start reconsidering speed limits in the home. So submitted a bunch of ideas on that, and we'll see where that goes. I don't know how they're going to change it or what, so not much else to report on. Patricia Duran is not here. Mike's on the committee. The big one.
Yeah, we've gotten zero response. Another letter to the editor was submitted today, and I did get the Tribune to call me back, and they are going to post it. Announcing the town hall meeting a week from today at 6:30 right here, and also telling the community in nicer words than I'm going to say, either get on board or don't scream anymore. We need members here, and stop being NIMBYs, and let's participate. So there is a letter to the editor out, and as I say, a week from today is the town hall meeting, and as of now, we've received no one new. We've got the same group, and we have 4 vacant seats, 2 in area 7, and 1 in area 3, and 1 in area 1. So I don't know what we're going to do.
What's area 7 in particular?
That's Sway Creek.
What's area 1?
That's kind of in the building.
Oh,
yeah. Inside the freeway. So that's where we're at. We're not doing very well. We're not getting too much response out there. So we'll see what happens next Monday.
Send a note to your constituents and tell them.
Okay.
Yeah. Back to traffic and circulation, you kind of ignored me. Can they pursue or at least bring up a 3-way stop at Mary and Juniper?
Traffic study.
Yeah, well, it would be.
I'll ask you to. I don't think we'll succeed in doing anything.
Well, bring it up, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, next meeting will be March 26th. I think we're going to have a special presentation from Chief Fisher on that day, too. So. Yeah, from one of those fire people who wants to us. We'll look forward to that. And it's adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah, it's adjourned.
I don't know.
I understand, I don't want to be argumentative. This is my view.
I said recommend it. You stay on it because then you get these over the head. Did you go to the